You're listening to DraftKings Network.
In the first segment, we talk about so much. We talk about Tata Martino. We talk about Wayne Rooney. Was he getting Liddy on an airplane coming back from Dubai? Was he out like a light? Who knows? Was he popping pills? We'll have to find out. Also, how many people are going to Scotland?
That's right. I think I'm going to Scotland because I'm wearing my Celtic kit. Also, in the second segment, we talk about some of the debates about, what is the future of MLS? What is the future of Liga MX? Should they be one giant thing? Some of our Gully Squad members let us know. All this and more today on the Cooligans!
Hey, this is Alexi Lawless. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
Hello! Yes! Yeah. Welcome! We are here in New York City!
So happy to be back in our studio.
That's right. It's been, what, two weeks?
Yeah, we've been on the phone. I need to see your pretty face.
my face is here.
Finally.
Touch my face.
That's what I do. That's how we start the show. What does everyone wonder what goes on when I yell, yeah, baby? It's me making contact with those high-ass cheekbones of yours.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Cooligans. We are here at the Hackintack Meridian Health Stage 17 at the top of Madison Square Garden.
Scrap. cat.
That's right. We are excited to be back. We have been on the phone. You know, and people when we're on the phone,
they don't like the energy.
The energy's a little different.
Yeah.
It's
you take it down a notch, I take it down a notch. It seems odd, but also we tend to do those at like midnight. I got a lady who works.
Yeah,
sleeping on the other side.
We talk to each other on the podcast like we're trying to hide a secret relationship from our wags.
I told you not to call me at this time.
Well, how dare you podcast this late? She's gonna find out.
I swear to God, I can't quit you.
Welcome to the Cooligans podcast, man. Yes, this is a soccer show. Most of the time, people start listening. We get comments on YouTube all the time. They're like, I've been listening to the show for 6 minutes, didn't hear one thing about soccer.
Yeah, and you're not gonna. Not in the first 6 minutes.
What do you think this is? All right, you don't know. This is the foreplay to the soccer.
You want us to just jump right in? We ain't charging you by the hour.
Okay, all right, we charm you into the soccer.
Right?
We make you want it.
It's a GFE. It's a girlfriend experience right here.
I didn't know what the acronym meant.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know. No, I haven't.
We're here. We're going to relax. Everyone around us at this dinner is going to think we're actually a couple. Take it easy.
Oh, man.
We didn't even get the apps yet.
This is that Cooligans 2019 energy, okay?
Hell
so
yeah.
You better get used to
that
it.
Patty LuPone energy.
Oh, man. What? This? Look, politics, the government is shut down. And shout out to, I'm sure there's government employees.
Like, shout out to the government for being shut down. That's what you're going to say.
No, shout out to government employees. There's easily, like, what, 500,000? Workers that are not being paid or not working at the moment.
Dude, Christian and I are about to fly in 2 days.
Yeah.
Or I guess while you're listening to this tomorrow. Please, TSA, just one more day of showing up to work. Or please, air flight control, whatever that's
people are called. You need to GoFundMe for TSA.
Please.
We might have to do that.
Just show up for one more day.
Look, hopefully, if anybody listening to this does work for the government and is not being paid, hopefully we can cheer you up a little bit because I know you ain't got no money.
We'll make you laugh.
We'll make you laugh.
Just think of us, two comedians looking at our bank accounts.
Okay, we know a little bit about not having money.
We know all about not getting paid. Financially, I've been in a shutdown for years.
I thought Trump was going to change things, but it has not revived my comedy career. I'll tell you that much. So welcome to the show. My name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerrero.
We are your two favorite stand-up comedians out in New York who host the funniest soccer podcast that you've ever listened to by far. And it is not only the funniest soccer podcast that you've ever listened
to. No, it is, though.
It's not exclusively that.
No, it's more than that.
It's more than that.
And one of the other things that it also is, because it definitely is the funniest, it's also the goddamn gulliest.
The gulliest, all right? And if you don't know what gully is, I mean, you're gonna start figuring it out throughout the show.
You hear about that in the first 6 minutes.
Okay,
very
much so.
All right, we talk about gully in the first six. In fact, we actually talk gully.
You get G-checked in those first 6 minutes.
We're going to press you in the first 6 minutes.
Gag and press. Okay, so.
We're going to gag and press. Shots at your window.
So we usually start the show always just by showing love to the people who show love to us, right?
Hell yeah.
And we've been getting some very fun reviews on iTunes.
Yeah, we're not just the funniest podcast. We also get the funniest reviews, man.
That's
our
right.
reviews are just I would the
put,
best.
I would put it up against other podcasts. And as far as...
Our reviews are better to read than it is to listen to Men in Blazers. I'm saying it.
Our reviews are better to read than our show.
Yeah. That also may be true. Y'all are too funny. Y'all need to chill.
So, no. So speaking of that other show, I'm reading this review because it's funny. It's also a purposeful troll on us and speaks to and really gets under our craw, right?
Is this the short one?
This is the very short one.
When I read this, I was just like, damn it. But
I gotta read it. I mean, like, yo, you bring in the heat on the reviews, you get read. So this one, this is from Antonio Yacht.
Yacht.
So he goes, the subject is five, so it's five stars, and the subject is
very confusing so far. Just I want you to know
there are no men in blazers.
They are no men in blazers.
Yeah. So okay, all right, shots fired.
Five stars.
Five stars. They're correct.
You're not men in blazers.
I don't know if this is an insult. This is just
so far it's facts.
This is all facts.
Five
stars. We are not men in blazers.
Yeah.
And this is very clear. Okay, and then in the rest of the message it goes, they ain't as good as MIB, but they all right.
Yeah. Hey, yo, Antonio, say it to my face.
My face, Antonio, and my very pretty face.
Yeah, that hairless face is. And when I say it to my face, I specifically mean Christians.
Because you will be very distracted, and it may be difficult for you to say something so mean.
Because I'm going to blink my long eyelashes real quick at you, Antonio, yeah.
And then also, it says, one out of one listeners found this review helpful. Really?
Mad disrespectful. Really? You know he did it himself.
Who called? Sign that.
You know he did that himself. Let's be honest. I want to read Atletico Atlanta.
Okay.
But the greatest pod in soccer. Five stars.
Look at that.
Look, nobody likes Man City. And nobody likes watching soccer in baseball stadiums. But NYCFC can be viewed as a success solely thanks to these two being interested in MLS and putting on this pod.
Wow. City Football Group.
Atletico.
Hey, you're listening to this?
Atlanta. Hey! Massive amounts of money organization. Toss some at us.
That'd be cool. You know, look, we'll make this financial fair play thing go right out the door.
Do you have any idea how much expenses we can make for you? How many write-offs?
Okay, the sponsor of the show, surprisingly, and this is what we charge everybody.
Yeah, this is everybody.
It costs $52
million. 52 million pounds.
Pounds.
Sorry, yeah.
Pounds sterling, clearly.
This is pounds. GBP. Great. British pounds, and we will salute the Queen on every episode. I will start wearing Etihad Airways on my chest everywhere I go.
I was gonna think like the King of Dubai or something. Not even the Queen.
No, I'll salute whoever you want. Are you out of your mind right now?
Okay, so look, I mean, thank you for that. I mean, look, I don't know how much influence we have on the success. Or failures of NYCFC. You know, they're having a couple issues.
They did bring us to the league.
Okay, yeah.
And getting into the league brought us to this.
I wouldn't even say that. Because we supported MLS before.
Yeah, but loosely.
Loosely, yeah.
Not enough casual. To have started a podcast.
No, not even close. So, no.
And in fact, Cooligans would have never happened.
The hype in the city of a new team, and that was like.
But Cooligans would have never happened if you and I didn't stand next to each other and just kind of
touch each
around.
Other's faces. Yes, right. I agree.
This is all before the game.
Look, we all have superstitions, yeah.
If we didn't pee butt to butt. that one time, and our energies combined. If we didn't stand next to each other at the games and kind of joke around and look at each other and be like, wait a minute, people around us think we're funny, right?
Yeah.
We know we're comedians. We've had podcasts. Like, yo, why don't we do this for real? Seems like there's a way to be funny about soccer, and here we are.
Yeah.
I mean, look, even if
NYCFC will always hold a dear place in our hearts because
that's what they started because of them. That was the first domino to fall.
Yes.
And what got us here. And of course, we're Latinos, so we're talking about dominoes. Not the pizza, my guy.
Definitely not the pizza.
The domino.
Okay, let's get going on the show with obviously the biggest news in global soccer.
The biggest news possible.
Speaking of airports, is it Dulles or Dulles?
I don't even
Dulles.
Know.
Dulles. Dulles. Okay, so right out of Dulles Airport in Maryland, right?
Yeah.
Or is this Virginia? Where is Dulles located?
I believe it's in Virginia.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. So you know,
apparently it's illegal to be a lad.
Yeah. Huh? Okay.
This is an assault on British culture.
It's an assault on the Scouse accent. The Scouse, they're beautiful.
It's a beautiful accent. You can't understand it. The question is, how many people would, like, how did the American officer know he was swearing?
If you haven't heard about this, where have you been? But yeah. Wayne Rooney arrested.
For 6 hours, by the way.
Six hours longer than I've been arrested. Yeah. I don't know. About,
okay.
I don't know. How Let much time just, have you done, Alex?
I might get a free sandwich if I get one more tick on this thing.
Wayne Rooney was arrested in December, flying back from the Emirates or something like that. I don't know where he was flying from exactly.
He did a one day long promotional trip
from Dubai.
To Dubai,
yeah.
So he had a long trip. You know, just like Drake did, you know, he popped a couple to sleep on the plane. And I guess at some point woke up and was like, I should have a beer. You know, I should have a pint.
I thought you were supposed to be out like a light, Wayne. Yeah. What happened?
Like a light. So he apparently drank and then he got disoriented, comes off the plane. And I don't know if he went to a bar or if this was just coming off the plane.
I'm looking at the photo and he's on like a, you know, either a private plane or like first class. He's on his own
one
seat.
Of those fancy joints.
Fancy, yeah. It's like a bed.
Yeah, he's not in coach.
Yeah. he's not sitting next to just some lady.
You know? No, he's not in a middle seat. He is the row. My guy is the row.
Yes. So this happened. This is reported by The Athletic. Paul Tenorio and Pablo Mora, two heroes that have been on this show. And thank you for your courageous reporting. Because some people have.
Pablo Mora is a snitch, though. You can't be dipping your cookie drink.
On the Goya.
Yeah. Your beer. Just being Cuban. You're just out here being Cuban. Apparently, being British and being Cuban are illegal.
Not allowed in this country anymore. So, because some people were giving them like some grief over. The fact that this is like, how is The Athletic reporting? This is TMZ, whatever. Yeah. It's just like, nah, man.
A player got arrested
and we don't find out about it till 3 weeks after.
Yeah, imagine if The Athletic was around when the whole Kyle Aaron thing happened.
Exactly.
They would have had it covered. They would have been like, girls getting messy in Orlando. They wouldn't have said that. They would have went
this
like,
is a
player
very
arrested.
Important news story that should be discussed, right? But obviously the reason it kind of seemed less significant or less important was because of what he was arrested for. So he was arrested for public swearing and intoxication, which is a class 4 misdemeanor, which is like, he's not, you know, they're not going to deport him, for this. And he ended up,
And it doesn't mess with his A1 whatever.
Yeah. So he was released on his own recognizance and paid a $25 fine on January 4th, according to the records. So
basically what happened is he must have caused a scene on the airplane. And when he came off, you know, if you cause a scene, the police are waiting for you when you get there. And he was like, yo, don't fucking arrest me. And then that's it.
You went too far. Yeah. But also,
you can't arrest me. I don't even know if that's a Manc or whatever, a Scouse accent.
Oh, that Liverpool accent is like,
yeah.
Me getting arrested.
Yeah. What are you going to do that for?
So look, it's obviously it's like not a serious thing, and but he's definitely.
He should have smiled in the mugshot. If it's not a $25 fine,
but the fact that there's a mugshot for a $25 fine is just yeah. like, oh, really?
At that point, just use it to get a good passport photo. You know what I mean?
Hey, can you bring me this?
Because I need it. Hold on, let me Google what size I need. At that point, just use it for something.
Yeah, so it's like I don't necessarily.
I paid $25 already.
You know, he said that it was he took a sleeping aid
to go to sleep on the plane.
Yes.
And I guess that plus the alcohol, which he's sitting first class. It's free anyway. Bruh.
What, the drugs? The Zans?
No, probably that too. But no, the alcohol.
Can I get some whiskey and some Zans, yeah, please?
Yeah. Oh, sure. I don't know why everyone's English all of a sudden. But he was also in Dubai, which I don't think has alcohol, right?
It has alcohol. It's illegal. It's quote unquote illegal. I've been to Dubai and there's plenty of alcohol to go around. It's just like it's a religious reason. Muslims don't drink alcohol.
Yes.
But they it's there. It's like it's one of those unspoken rules. Like don't drink it, but it's everywhere. It's very much like that.
I'm confused.
That's how it is.
If you go to a club, there's alcohol.
Cuz I don't think it's not illegal in the country. It's just like you drink alcohol and you're a bad Muslim. I think that's the mentality, especially specifically in the Emirates.
Just hanging bacon around me, like, ah, they're trying to tempt you.
Don't do it.
No,
you know you
smells
should.
Good. I know, but don't. I mean,
but Dubai in particular has so many tourists that and they want the damn alcohol.
Yeah.
When I was in Dubai, I almost got.
Oh, so I see. It's not illegal. It's just religiously. If you acknowledge that religion, you should not drink it. But yeah, for you or me going there, yeah. There's alcohol for us.
Exactly. But when I was in Dubai, this was in like, I think this was in 2007, something like that, 2008. I almost got into a fight with an English guy and a Scottish guy. They were there for like work and they were trash. They were Rooney drunk, right?
Yeah. So they get the fuck away from me.
But once I told them I was American, they just, yo, I can't, I swear, they were just like, mad. They were just mad at me for being there. They just their tone, everything changed. And it was just like the Scottish dude was like way more drunk. And he was like trying to get me. I'm like not easy to like stir up and really like, you're not going to rile me up. Like, yeah. It's just like, unless I'm seriously in like fear of my life or something like that. But he was like trying to egg me on, try to say things so that I could like get angry at him or fight him back. And I'm just like, yo, you're just being ridiculous. I don't know what.
Also, you're yelling at the pole, not me. Turn around, my guy.
Yeah, dude. It was, it's a weird place. Don't go to Dubai. It's not really, I don't know. It's not really, I there's no like real genuine culture there.
No, it's like Vegas.
Yeah, the country's just like, it's like 5 years old and or whatever. So
go if you want. Who cares? There's alcohol there. But he went, flew back, got arrested. Wasn't that big a deal. I just think they have to do that. If you make a scene on an airplane or something, they have to arrest you.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like, you know, it's customary at this point.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you're coming back to America.
You got
to
get arrested. You're being drunk.
Yeah. Look, this is part of, you know, this is you getting like, you know, into the fraternity.
Yeah,
know?
Imagine like, you went to America and didn't get arrested for swearing. Wouldn't you feel like you missed out, you know?
We can't even trust you at this point, you
But
know?
I do shouts to Just Andrew now.
Yeah,
SOCL Andrew was like, how dare you not respect our culture of being drunk, disorderly, and swearing. Shouts to Andrew, man. That's super fun.
Yeah, I wish. I mean, I think the luxury of being Wayne Rooney in America is the reason why we don't have 40, like, camera phones seeing him drunk and being belligerent or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like.
He couldn't have done that in England.
He couldn't. He can't walk anywhere in England.
As soon as you put the alcohol up to his lip, you'll hear world star. Like you hear everything's happening in the background. So here in America, you know, he goes to take a sip of a pint and he waits. He doesn't hear any clicking. And there's just that sigh of relief as he can finish the beer on his own.
Yeah, maybe there's that a little bit of comfort. Because when as soon as I read the story, I thought like he was in like a bar at the airport. You know what I mean? Like, I thought he was just sitting at TGI Fridays watching the game.
Ruby Tuesday lit.
I'm like, damn, Rooney, okay. Yeah. Like, you're really settling in quite nicely.
You trying to watch that City-Liverpool game?
Well, it reminded me. Did he watch Sunderland Till I Die?
No.
You haven't seen an episode at all?
I have but not. I've heard everyone talking about it. And Bird Box, I haven't seen.
Yeah, yeah, it's very good. Bird Box is not good. But Gibson, who played for Sunderland, I think he also played for Everton. I think his name is Daniel Gibson, I forget, or Ben Gibson. But he, in like the first episode, I don't know, spoiler or whatever, but they get relegated, if you don't know.
Yeah, that I know.
In 2017.
I am following but the world news.
In preseason, he was at a bar drinking, just like, but like trash. And somebody turned on the camera phone and was like, bro, you're wasted. And it's like, you got a game in 2 days. And he can't even like rationally respond because he's so wasted.
Yeah.
So it's just like, that's, you can't even be a little tipsy out in England.
No.
Without somebody like being like, oh well, clearly you don't really care about the club or something's going on.
But also there's that thing of like, if you show up to a bar, people start texting everyone like, yo, there's a professional soccer player here in England. You know what I mean? And people show up, fans are probably showing up. How could you possibly get that trashed at a local bar? And Sunderland's not a big town.
When we show up to a bar, people are like, I think two criminals walked in.
Got more Hispanics. Jesus, this neighborhood.
What? I thought we did everything we could to get rid of them. Man,
this is why we put the MAGA hat on the door.
They saw it on the doorknob. Yeah. I don't understand what happened.
It's like a college, you put a sock on there, you don't show up.
So,
speaking of getting drunk disorderly in airplanes, we're going to Chicago, baby.
We are going to Chicago. Hopefully, I mean, we're not gonna, I mean, I don't like to drink on planes. Do you?
The first time I flew first class, they said, do you want a drink? And I was like, what do you mean? And she goes, would you like a drink? And I'm like, yeah, but like, where's the cart? What's the list? And she's like, no, if you tell me something,
service.
Yeah. She goes, if you tell me something, I'll go get it. I was like, so if I said, I want a cup of coffee, I want a glass of water, and I want a scotch, you'll get it for me? And she goes, what type of scotch? And she goes, bubbly or tap? And I was like, shut up.
And I was like, and you were like, are you allowed to have that fire sparkler on this airplane? I feel like that's not a good idea.
It was great. So I did drink on that plane. And I've never like bought myself a drink on an airplane. That always seems like a waste.
Okay. Because they're so little.
Yeah, but I sat next to a guy once who drank like 3 beers and a mini red wine.
Mm.
And I'm like, dude, I mean, are you... flying into a divorce proceeding? I'm like, dude.
Well look, you know, your dad is really stressed.
And yeah. You think I sit next to my dad on an airplane? That plane's going down, my guy.
Look, all the best to the Rooney family. Yeah.
I don't think this is a big issue for them. Been through worse.
They've been through much worse.
They've been through worse. They're going to be fine.
This is, not the biggest blemish on the, you know, on the family. Anything. On the Rooney family crest.
No, that photo's on the fridge, that mugshot. You're fine. Speaking of flying, American players are going to be flying to Scotland.
That's right. Hopefully in the land. Hopefully they're kinder to those Americans.
Yeah, probably won't.
Than they were to me in Dubai. But no, this is kind of cool, man. Right there, we're hearing rumors.
Is it though?
Okay, can I finish my sentence?
I'm trying to do counterpoint right here.
It's like I haven't even made my point before you're like,
well, you said it's kind of cool. And I'm like, no, it's not. First of all, we both know what we're talking about. And so does everyone else.
Not everyone. Right. So what I'm saying is cool that there are a couple American players that are one we definitively know is going to Celtic. Timothy Weah being loaned from PSG. And that was always, there were a couple clubs that were interested in him, but it's looking like, so obviously he's going to be there for the next 6 months. And so now the rumor that I saw today, Will Trapp possibly leaving Columbus Crew and going and joining Celtic as well.
He also, he posted a picture of his passport on Instagram.
Who?
Will Trapp.
Okay.
Which is mad. That's messy. As messy as hell.
Oh, with the info?
Like, no,
oh,
not he that. He just like he's like ship posting because he has like some. I guess it's Russian.
Oh yeah, I don't know what. It looks Russian. Yeah, it looks Russian.
I can't tell. Well, it looks like a Russian style writing, but that doesn't seem to me like that's Russia. But either way, he posted it like. Your boy got a European passport.
I'll be traveling.
The rumors you heard is mad true. Which also explains why Will Trapp has one L in Will and two P's in Trapp. That never made sense. Well, clearly Eastern European.
Hold on. If it's If it's a European passport, Russia's not in Europe, right? Russia's not in the EU, so...
Well, he put an international passport.
Okay, okay. So I don't know what country it is. It's one with some weird-ass letters.
Yeah, the kind of place that would name a guy Will with one L and Trap with two. Why is that not frustrating anyone else?
So that... what's
Greek passport.
Greek passport.
Great.
There
You're
we
good,
go.
Boy.
You're good. All right.
Boy, get up in that Scotland.
So that would be, I think for both of them, obviously an exciting move. I Timothy Weah going excites me more because I'm like, oh, he's going to go out and flex on all these fools.
The most important part of the Timothy Weah deal is that PSG extended him 6 months so that they could keep him after the loan. So they're not getting rid of Tim Weah. They're sending him on loan to get more playing time.
Yeah.
I was going to say stage time. The dude's not trying to be a comic. Have you ever noticed when you're playing professional side? So that's a huge deal because there's been times, there's players like, not Mavinga. What's the dude's name that plays for Matt Miazga?
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't feel like he's in the plans at Chelsea.
No, not even close.
So if somebody offered money for him, they'd be like, yeah, go ahead, take him. It's gone, right? Tim Weah got a couple opportunities to start, didn't look amazing. Mbappe, clearly a better player than him, at least right now.
A little bit,
right? Very, very expensive, right? So Mbappe's going to get that start. You would assume that maybe they're like, all right, maybe we could find a better replacement for Mbappe, someone that's cheaper and we don't have to worry about, right?
Okay.
You would assume that maybe they'd be willing to sell him. The fact that they went through the lengths they did to keep him tells me that they have a lot of trust in him, and that's a much bigger team than Celtic. Here's the thing. Are players going to Celtic really that – is that really that great? It's in the Scottish Premier League.
Yeah. Is it – I mean
– That's not that high of a standard.
I don't think that's the right question. I think for especially our young men's national team players to get to the point where they can be starting at Celtic as opposed to sitting on the bench at PSG or Real Madrid or wherever. I mean, I don't want to use the example. I would be on the bench at Real Madrid. I would be fine with that.
Very happy to do that.
Maybe not the current Real Madrid.
I could care less.
You could? All right. So, but
I'll go back to the fascist days. I'm only joking.
I think it would be a good move. Just playing time. And I don't think the standard is, yes, it's, is it? Who you were having this discussion with Jason Davis, and somebody made the comment about that an MLS team wouldn't even last Celtic would dominate MLS.
Would dominate. And that's the thing. That's the issue I had. It's not set in stone that they would dominate.
Yeah, I don't think they would dominate. But I think
here's the thing. If Celtic were to walk into MLS, one of two things would have to happen. Either they would have to comply with our cap, or MLS teams would be able to do whatever they wanted, similar to them. Or even if the cap was whatever their salary is at the moment, there's teams like Atlanta who would just go out and spend more. There's teams like Toronto who have a really good core of three players that would go out and spend more and be able to get an equivalent. They would not be able to dominate. If you took that team as unbalanced as it would be and simply put them in MLS, I still don't think they would dominate. Would they win? Probably they'd win.
Okay, so how about this? If Timothy Weah was loaned to Atlanta United,
mm-hmm.
MLS champions, SoundCloud
rap that he would produce would be
why would
litty.
You think of would that move be would it be a lateral move from Celtic, or would you prefer if out of the two would he Celtic at, in the Scottish Premier League or Atlanta United in MLS?
I don't know that I can give you a direct answer, but here's what I'll say. Week to week basis, he'll have a harder challenge playing in MLS on a week-to-week basis than he would playing against the teams that you typically play against in the Scottish Premier League. Now, understanding that there's a good core of very good teams in the Scottish Premier League, but for the most part, you're playing against farmers, okay? You know what I mean?
I don't personally know the Scottish Premiership League that well. I know
you
Rangers.
Go up against
and
Patrick
I know-
Thistle in your cup. You're not, I mean, I could, you and I, my, I mean, yes. I know I at least would make the crafts to the concession stand at Patrick Disney, but I know you could probably make the bench. I'm only kidding about us making the team, but
yeah,
I do
because,
think,
but the leading goal scorer in the Scottish Premier League is currently Thomas Honeybottom. I don't know. He's a great player.
Danny Drinkwater's cousin. But I do think that on a week-to-week basis, you face harder challenge here because the standard is relatively the parity of MLS.
Okay.
Maybe Celtic is a better team than the team that recently won Atlanta United, right? But
because Celtic would be playing in Champions League, and
yeah, so there's better opportunities for
higher competition. The league itself, maybe. I don't follow the Scottish Premier League that well. I mean, I'll watch the the Celtic Rangers. The Old Firm?
Yeah, the Old Firm.
Old Firm, right? Okay, see, that's all I know. Okay,
so, but you know something.
I know something. So, but no, I think it.
Oh, they
I,
also I, got Gutman, the top player in the draft. Supposedly.
Yes. So this also we're looking at the article from Paul Tenorio that just was written just a couple hours ago today, Tuesday, January 8th. So and that was one of the things mentioned he's a Chicago Fire Academy product and looks like he might be joining Celtic as well, which we're hearing more and more about American players choosing to go over to Europe if they get the opportunity. Right. We just heard. Our boy, Kyrie Shelton, going over to Bundesliga 2 to Paderborn.
Yeah.
And so that's a big deal, right? Because
it is two Bundesliga, which is not,
But who was it? What's his name? From Seattle Sounders that went to Bundesliga 2 for more money.
Who?
The left back. Why am I forgetting his name?
Oh, Trinidadian dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember his name.
But I hate that.
With the J's.
With the J's. Two J's.
Both of them. Two J's.
We'll get it.
Two J's. JJ.
JJ.
The homie James Jovian. I can't remember his name. But look, here's the thing. They're going for more money.
Oh, yeah. You can't blame him.
That's all it is.
Yeah. Kyrie Shelton did get a real offer from Sporting Kansas City. A sizable money and it was reasonable and he chose to go to Bundesliga 2.
What are these teams seeing that I can't?
It's tough, right? Look, I think
he played hold up very well.
He did. And he got a couple assists that wouldn't have happened if they didn't have a good hold up guy like that. But Kyrie's problem and he is a striker. That can't strike.
Yeah, yeah. So he's just an
And it's frustrating because, he was out here at NYCFC and he had a couple good moments.
He was the first player to recognize us.
Yes.
And you and I reacted like One Direction fans as they stepped off the plane. My voice hasn't hit that high in a very long time.
So, yeah.
So, look, much respect to him, but over the course of the last few years that we've been on the air, if you will, we've seen him. He had that period where he came back from injury where he was incredible.
Yeah.
And he was scoring a ton and he seemed like he had a lot of confidence and it seems like that confidence is nowhere to be found. So I wonder what Paderborn saw. He's very good in the air as well.
Yeah.
He hasn't shown it, but he is.
He is. He is.
No. But I mean, he doesn't have the goals.
He can win an aerial challenge for you.
Yeah. Okay? I mean, look, at the end of the day, if you got that one thing in your tool belt and everybody needs that tool, get out there, baby.
And look, and we don't want to harp on the stereotypes of, the pace and power of a black player, but.
Yeah, I never even thought of that for Kyrie, just because we're talking about him watching him play.
No, but he's definitely incredibly athletic, and he comes from that American background of like clearly he probably played other sports growing up, and
yeah, he's I think remember,
dude can ball. I mean,
when we had the argument? I know I was having it with Giannis Pappas, who was like, "Oh, America just the best athletes need to play soccer," and I'm like, "Enough of that shit."
Yeah,
it's not true.
Exactly,
it's stupid. It's antiquated. And Kyrie Shelton. I think he ran like a 4.2 in the
4.2 40. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, that would be a starting wide receiver, starting safety.
Yeah.
Because in the NFL,
if LeBron James played soccer, we already know what it would be like because we see Kyrie Shelton, yeah. Right?
It's just Kyrie Shelton. First of all, red cards in the first 10 minutes. Because a mountain.
It's just, look, that's his advantage and fine. But in soccer, you need to clearly have other skills.
And I will say this. You have to be good at playing hold up is a skill that not a lot of center forwards have.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. Giroud comes to mind.
Yeah.
Giroud, first of all, can score. Right?
Yes, he can.
And with us. Beautiful man. good looking dude.
You got the green light, buddy.
Get over here. Bring that jawline over here. But he's one of those dudes that can play hold up, which is very difficult. That sort of putting, you know, drawing the defender out a little bit closer to midfield and then putting the ball in positions where your attacking midfielders can attack. But the difference is, at some point, Giroud can turn around and score.
Yeah.
And I didn't see that from Kyrie Shelton. So to me, it's like, yo, Paderborn must really be playing long ball if you're going to bring this guy in. Hey, power to you, bro.
Yeah.
Get out there.
I think
make
I believe
that money.
They're in seventh place.
Get so that bag.
They're not in a position where, like, they need, they're not worried about relegation. They're trying to get into Bundesliga.
Yeah.
So, yo, if why, what's going to happen? End of the season. Kyrie Shelton is going to bicycle kick that ends up winning the playoff.
Only goal he scores
the only goal
is going to get him in the Bundesliga.
Look, we're happy for you, man. Like, I'm happy for him. I know. Look, we got to see it. Rookie year. Look, he was a NYCFC guy.
I said, yo, man, we're called that. And he goes, yeah, no, you're the Cooligans. I know you guys. You're both stand-up comedians. I was did he say that or did I say that?
We'll love you forever, man, just for that moment. We wish you all the best. I mean, we just want Kyrie to be that striker we know is possible. We saw some
he had moments of it.
He had some moments, you know? And maybe
you know what happened? At some point he stopped going at defenders. And I think that's when his career deteriorated to only playing hold-up.
Like, if he had the confidence that Jonathan Lewis
or even back in the day, Jack Harrison.
Sure.
Remember, Jack Harrison was willing to go at defenders.
Yeah, it's not his strength. That
but he has it. He has it in him. We saw it.
A little bit. Anyway.
Well, shouts to Paderborn.
So, did we talk about this last week, Jonathan Lewis?
Tim put Q, loving you is easy because you're beautiful music. Loving you. He also said alcohol is legal in Dubai. He looked it up. As long as you're attached to a hotel or private club or a nightclub or something. Yeah, hotels or private clubs.
Yes, it was at a hotel.
Legal drinking age is 21.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Tim. Our producer, Tim. Shout out to him. A couple of other things that we should discuss. Is finally the worst kept secret. Tata Martino will be the manager for the Mexican national team.
What?
That gif of that dude, like. So obviously I'm happy it's over with, and he can continue his coaching career without all the the secrecy and all the questions.
But he did keep it gully. Did you hear what the reporter asked him?
I didn't.
They said, "Is this the most important role in your career?" And he's like, "It's a role in my career." He straight up was like, he's like thinking back to Messi on the Argentina team. He's thinking back to Messi at Barcelona. He's thinking back to his like favorite club in the world, Newell's old boys. And he's like, is Mexico, player.
It's like asking someone if like their child who's in prison is their favorite child.
Yeah. Or just like... You ask like a girl, am I the best you ever had? And she's just like,
okay.
Okay. I mean, you're definitely the one I've had.
I've had most recently. Yeah. I can definitely confirm that.
100% yes if you're only taking sample of the last 24 hours.
So 25, I can't even answer that.
I'm not getting into that.
So, look, and he did mention again that he did not receive even one phone call from U.S. Soccer, which we already sort of knew, but the confirmation.
Why would you? Berhalter, baby. Berhalter ball.
We've moved on. We're happy with old Greg.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've accepted it. We're actually not unhappy. I don't want people to think that.
Because he did call in Jonathan Lewis
the guy's got vision.
Camp Cupcake.
Mm-hmm.
So that was exciting. But the... just like sort of accepting that reality, and now we can sort of move on. U.S. Soccer had no interest in Tata, and we don't know exactly. And obviously, maybe just more of the he didn't speak the language. Maybe that was just what it was all about. But best of luck to Mexico. I mean, yeah, you win against everybody except the U.S. That's all we care
about. That's it. Yeah.
So I just like you were saying before, it's just like if Tata just starts embarrassing the men's national team,
then Ernie Stewart gotta go, right?
I mean, it'll just look bad, right? Look,
Ernie Stewart gotta go
at that point.
Especially if now it's out in the open. The dude never even received a phone call from U.S. Soccer. I'm cool with Berhalter. I wish for all success. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I do think he is a good option 4B. It's like, dude, is he the best?
He is an option.
He's an option. I think he's a great option for being the coach of the men's national team. That said, knowing there was a better option in front of you and you didn't even attempt to make a phone call, my guy, with all that time you had, what did you do for 10 months?
Yeah. I mean, he called people. He called some people.
Who'd you call them? Because there's one extra person. You could make one other phone call before you printed out the contract. At
least, maybe a text?
Yeah, send the homie a text. WhatsApp. You know what I mean?
You know, just say a text.
You could even call them on WhatsApp.
A text at that, that being like, yo, ASL, what are you doing? Just at least something to say, like, you have a little bit of interest.
Donde tu eres?
So, the last thing, well, before we get to our next time, we're going to talk about a couple other things. We should talk about Andres Iniesta.
Oof.
Because this is...
Old step and fetch. Andres Iniesta.
Andres Iniesta. So, and you know, we are, this is a very Latino show. And
but more than that, we're Caribbean Latinos. We gonna have some strong opinions about the mother country.
So it's a little different when we have to address our conquerors, right?
Yeah, and not to throw shade on you and your compatriots, but Andres Iniesta is taking pictures with people pulling reverse Sammy Sosa.
Sure. It's like, yeah, if this is offensive, then we have to be offended by Sammy Sosa, don't we? Right? To some extent.
I'm offended by that. You're not offended by that?
Of course.
Oh, yeah. I'm also very offended by Sammy Sosa.
Yes. Which is very strange. He says, have you ever seen that interview that he did with ESPN? Really just like about steroids. And he just like is incomplete. He talks about steroids and he talks about his skin. And he just like, he reminds me of like just.
Trump.
Denial.
Yeah.
He's just like, what? My skin? I look the
steroids.
Same.
Steroids.
Steroids.
Someone asked him about a cork bat.
Did he play on the Cubs?
Yeah. I know steroids. He was a nice guy. Remember when he sat in front of Congress and he's like, no big English.
No big English.
Like, yo, dog, we've heard you speak. Also, he got caught with a cork bat. Like, there's video of it.
Yeah.
It happened during a game. Millions of people saw it. I honestly
think that was a mistake, though. I don't think that was on purpose, the cork bat. Out of all the things Sammy, I think, totally lying about steroids.
But he denies it ever happened.
No. He knew it happened. He didn't know. It was a misplaced bat.
No, recently he was asked about it, in the last few years.
Do not slander our Dominican icons.
That good pink skin.
Okay, that pink man is beautiful.
Beautiful. Very afraid of the sun.
Very weird what he did to his skin. Gorgeous guy, too.
I don't get it. Another like becoming popular in the Caribbean, even in Jamaica.
Sure. Yeah, Sean Paul used to be as dark as the people that Dimitar Andres Iniesta takes.
Isn't it Dimitar Berbatov in the back, in the blue?
I don't know who anyone is. All I can see is two people in blackface in this Andres Iniesta video.
That's all I see.
Photo. So he takes a family photo with like the Tres Reyes, right?
Tres Reyes Mago.
Yeah, the Tres Reyes Mago, which is Three Kings Day.
January 6th, Three Kings Day. It's the three kings who visited little baby Jesus, if you believe in all that.
That's right.
That's
AKA Christian Pulisic.
Yeah, yeah. Sweet baby Jesus. That's what you would traditionally celebrate in Latin American countries. Does your family do January 6th?
We acknowledge it.
Yeah, you have a dinner.
Yeah, not like a huge deal.
But when I was a kid, my family wanted to do gifts on that day.
Yeah, it is a big deal overall.
It's like culturally, it's kind of out of
it. When I was a kid, it was more significant, but not anymore. So
apparently, two of the three kings were black dudes.
Yeah. So they thought, yo, what a great idea. Iniesta.
Oh, I'll be that.
You're going to be in this photo?
Yeah.
You're doing blackface?
Yeah, all right.
Okay. I thought this was going to be controversial.
Yeah.
So let me just hop in this.
If Iniesta would have had the blackface on, we wouldn't have known it was him. He came in casual clothing, co-signing all of this.
He's all good with it. And so the weird part is that clearly this caused a really big deal. It was a big issue. And people online were like, Iniesta, what is this? What are you doing? Yo, Andre, baby, come on.
What you doing, baby?
But photo's still up.
Hasn't responded.
He's just like, yo, I'm just having a good time with my family. Don't be haters.
And I know there's going to be people listening. One person in particular reached out to us and was like, come on, guys. It's a cultural thing. Blah, 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 blah. Yo, let's not pretend that people in Spain, some are not racist. Let's not pretend.
Sure.
That's not the case.
It's whatever. It's everywhere. Whatever.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's not act like this is 100% devoid of any racism. Now, look, they don't have a history of minstrel shows.
Sure.
They don't have a history of...
Minstrel shows, not menstrual shows. So both. Let's be clear.
But actually, they do have the second one. I spent a long time there. A lot of alleyways in that country. Minstrel.
Yes.
I said that.
That's not. I mean, it was very... You know,
vague?
It wasn't clear exactly what you said. Right. So I'm just clarifying for the listeners and maybe, you know...
Potential new sponsors like menstrual shows. Hey. Girl, you got your period? If you put Cooligans...
Dude, those ad reads...
would be legendary.
Would be spectacular, okay? Hey,
get your period right, my guy.
Okay.
Could you just imagine the reviews we'd start to get if that was the case?
I learned so much about my body from this show.
Those two men who don't take anything seriously did a wonderful job. So they don't have a history of the minstrel show thing, but that doesn't mean that doing this doesn't upset the black people in your country. Yeah. And some of them spoke up about this.
Sure.
And this is my point. It's like, as Latinos, we're like, well, wait. They don't have a history that... I get it. But if this pisses off the black people in your country, why would you do it? Or yeah. I get that they can't accept our culture because it's a different country. They don't understand our social mores?
Norms.
They don't understand that, so they don't get it. You know, they won't understand. It's like... kids in South Korea are saying the N-word because they hear it in music,
yeah,
and they don't understand that that's a bad word, right? Sure. Until someone's like...
I just don't think they should say it to their mothers. I mean, calm down, South
also,
Korean.
Also, stop pointing at your mom. South Koreans. Yeah, they would be beat viciously all through Seoul. But, so, like, I get it. Like, there's some things that the internet has helped, and there's some things that have sort of confused. This is one of those things that's confused. But I will not sit back and say, like, nah, that's 100% okay. You know, Antoine Griezmann, you know, he's the one who's like, God, everyone stop because you're going to remember my shit.
Yeah.
He was wearing a goddamn Harlem Globetrotters jersey. Wild disrespectful. Like, and also, why is the shade so dark on the paint they find?
it's tar. Look like they haven't been feathered yet.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's wild disrespectful across the board.
Yeah. So, like you said, like, should Spain adopt other cultures, sort of societal norms and things like that? And like, we understand,
but no, speaking specifically about Spain, this ain't cool in Spain.
Okay. Yeah. Cause look, we're not in Spain, so we don't know exactly how much of it, maybe it's way, they're way more chill about it, but we clearly in the US we have a lot more history with it and more people are knowledgeable about the fact that it's terrible and it shouldn't be done. And because every Halloween, it's every news story, everyone is looking to make that compilation of who does blackface this Halloween. And this is like, even for Halloween, which was what Griezmann did, it was like, at least for Halloween, you sort of like, yo, you're dumb, but we understand.
At least
we understand what you were trying.
At least it's a costume.
It's a, yes.
It's stupid.
It's
wrong. It's offensive. But at least there was a reason for you to dress.
We get the what sparked the idea. You're like, yo, Halloween, I'm going to crush it this year. Yo, all the girls are going to be loving my costume.
Griezmann's a massive NBA fan.
Yes.
You know, in his head, he's like, I'm paying homage. Wrong way to pay it. It's like, if you really love Trinidad James and what gold all in my watch.
Yeah.
Let's say you're a white guy who really loves that song and you really respect Trinidad James and you go to karaoke and you find that in that.
Yeah, I was like,
when he hits that,
you got to just
you got to wait.
Over it,
you
all right?
Go, there's one piece you just got to let go of.
Actually, I would prefer you don't even look at the karaoke screen while
just
that works.
Cover it with your hand just out of respect.
But I've never seen.
Don't believe me. Just watch.
I've never seen this for this holiday. That's what I'm saying. I've never seen the costume blackface for it. Makes it way worse.
Yeah.
For this very religious holiday.
Also, there's no reason for you to be that specific. You don't have a live llama in there. You're not in an actual manger. My guy, the costume, the jersey, the shirt and the hat is enough. We get what you're doing.
Yeah.
You didn't actually go out and get a real baby Jesus. I bet none of you have frankincense or myrrh, okay?
Just insane. And you bring your family into this photo?
Oh, man.
Just should have been a little bit more knowledgeable. eligible.
I mean, he took the photo. First of all, he saw them walk into his house.
Yeah.
Thought it was okay. Took the photo. And then he posted it on his social.
They walk in like, bro, hilarious. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, everybody put your phones away, though.
Loving the commitment to the character.
See, this is why I'm going to take a photo. It's because you went all the way. And I respect you for it.
And your passion and desire to be great is what I admire from you.
I think the accent also is spot on.
Insane. And the photo's still up. Photo's still up. So, look, regardless of how many people are pissed off, he's not even looking at his Twitter account or his Instagram, whatever. I don't know what it is. But clearly somebody in the Iniesta camp, David Villa, who your teammate. Yo, shouldn't somebody be like, yo?
Someone got to call and be like, hey. It's getting a lot of hot. Getting a lot of heat.
Okay. This is getting the kind of retweets we don't want.
Yeah. You know, Vissel Kobe is like, hey, quick question. Who the fuck told you?
I would just love like a Japanese media person who barely speaks English to be fluent. Yeah. Like, yo, hold up, homie.
Hold on. Who in your camp just point at him? You don't even got to say a name. Okay. Just point at it. Someone getting joy.
Because I'll take care of this, my guy.
Someone's getting tapped in the jaw. You just got to tell me who, because if not, it's going to be you. I'm wild Japanese, by the way. Ichiban, my guy.
Someone's saying I'm wild Japanese. That's so funny.
I stays Japanese.
Oh my god, so funny. All right, so hopefully, we're on Iniesta watch to see if he takes this photo down, because it's incredible that it's still up. But whatever, we'll see what happens. So. All right, we'll take a quick break, and we'll talk about a couple of things coming up, especially about the convention, things we're going to be planning on doing, and a couple of things in MLS. So we'll be right back after this.
Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening to the show. We just want to break in with a word from our sponsor, us.
Us.
Gully Squad, baby. Actually, you.
That's you. You're sponsoring the show. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. And if you're saying no, not me, well, then get in Gully Squad, my guy.
That's right. So if you guys want to be a part of the show, you're gonna hear about it in the next segment. If you want to be a part of the show, you want to contribute to some of the stuff that we talk about.
Absolutely.
Some of the things that we, even suggestions of things we should do, you know.
If you want us to get to do 2 episodes a week.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we've been doing that, but we want more people just to like help curate some of the things we talk about, especially for that second episode. We're going to be in Chicago, and we're going to be putting out interviews for those for that second episode, and that'll be really,
we're
going to
be
really
doing
fun.
A bunch of content,
bunch of stuff. So, but it helps in general throughout the entire show, and like there's perks of like maybe being able to join the super secret Facebook group that may or may not exist.
Who knows?
Nobody knows. Okay,
maybe we're making all this up. It's, you never know. You'll find out if you join Gully Squad.
Exactly. So you can join very easily. Go to soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad, or if you just go to soccercooligans.com, you'll see it right there on the menu, and you just help the show grow,
and you help us, which would be a huge help.
Yeah, and we need at this point, you should have like a you should be in filthy rags.
Yeah. Tatters.
Please, sir. Please join the Gully Squad.
May I have some more? It's just me at a slice shop. But if you go to soccercooligans.com, go to join Gully Squad, put in as much as you can give every month, would be helpful to us. We would love to have you a part of curating our show. Do it now.
Or play us some FIFA.
Oh, that'd be fun.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, baby, we're back.
We are back, and there's a couple things to discuss in Major League Soccer. But one of the things we should talk about that I think was a little bit lost on us was our interview with Dan Hunt. Right, so
it was so dope.
Played it last week for you guys, and honestly, we got a lot of feedback.
We got a bigger pop of feedback than I think we did in any of the other ones.
Yeah, we didn't expect it.
No.
Because in general, you think like people would probably want to hear more from a player or a coach than...
You and I think, thought the Oscar Parejo one was going to get us a lot of feedback, because we were so impressed with just how open and inspirational he was.
Yes. But people don't want to be inspired out of
you. Nah, they're like, nah, that's not where we come to you. You guys just said menstrual show on your podcast. Yeah, we're not that interested in being inspired. But I think how was it that he came? Did Dan Hunt show up ready to be open, or was it our unique capabilities that got him that way?
You know, it's hard to say, right? We don't know.
No, I think on the podcast, okay, we should say it's us. Just so we can isolate that audio and try to get other teams. But that's actually something that happened. A lot of fans of other teams have said, like, hey, you got to do this here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's been kind of cool. Like that, just that concept of that people not only like what we're doing and think that we're entertaining, but they're like, hey, you guys are good at interviewing people. Which is fun because
we're kind of like, yeah, I know.
No, well, you know what? I always have this mentality, and I'm much more like, I love Daily Show, and I love that strength of a comedian being able to add levity to a serious subject, right? And there were plenty of serious subjects with Dan Hunt. And
but I also think it's the ability to find the right words at times, or to understand how to word something so that you can get a little bit more out of somebody.
Yes, yeah. So that is a thing that, and we both hosted podcasts before we did this one, right. So we had a little bit of experience just interviewing people in general. But there is a balance of like, I'm like the more reasonable straight man type of interviewer. And then you go out and just barrel in with some craziness.
That's my style, baby.
But the balance of it is what's helpful.
I think that's also like, there's audience members that prefer my style. There's audience members that prefer your style for joke telling.
And some prefer doggy style.
Yeah. Anyway. Hey now, unless it's menstrual show. Jesus. All right. Don't leave reviews about this. Say it to our face. So there's people that are like, yo, Alexis is too loud. There's people that are like, yo, Christian isn't loud enough. Right. There's that. Right.
Yeah.
So we get, I think the beauty of what Cooligans is to me is like, if you go back like Laurel and Hardy and all these like famous pairings of comedy, there's always someone who's a bit
more realistic.
Yes.
Someone who's larger.
Actually, no, yeah. That is also that.
Hey, look, this is a legendary comedy.
This is pretty boilerplate.
We're not reinventing the wheel.
Nah,
okay?
Man, this is cookie cutter at some point, and I just got a lot more cookie. So you have your more straight man, and you have your more wild card, right? And I think early on, if you listen to the podcast, I think immediately, as soon as the mics turned on, we both kind of knew what more of the role we played. There's moments where you're wild, and there's moments where I'm asking the real questions.
Yeah.
But I think if you were like, the Venn diagram in the middle is Cooligans, but I think I'm in the wild card, and you are over there.
Yeah, but if it's an Extra Time Radio Facebook live feed, I'm the wild guy.
This guy's the wild card. And you can still see my face. They've definitely pulled that down by now. But that's what I'm saying. Like, the benefit of what we do is that we both can take over each other's roles at any moment. It's like total football, right? Like, players can play, like, defenders can become strikers.
That's right.
That's us, baby. Like, I know what you listed on in the card. I know what I'm listed on. But at any point, I might be that striker. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So, and I think that's what people appreciated from the Dan Hunt interview. And we're mentioning this because we didn't realize I don't know how many comedians have spoken to owners of a soccer team. I don't know how in the world. I don't know how much.
I really hope it's not many.
I honestly don't think it's many. So I think for a lot of people, and because we had already done a couple interviews, we were like acting like we'd been there before. Oh, right. you own the FC Dallas and the Kansas City Chiefs and a minority owner of the Chicago Bulls. Yeah, being there, done that.
Oh, another episode like that this week?
Oh, yeah. So trite.
Oh, this is the fourth podcast that has that.
So we definitely didn't make that the focus, right? We were just trying to like get to know him, get to know what he did and get to know about him and the future of FC Dallas. That's all we were focusing on. But there were a lot of people that were that took things from the interview that were just like, yo, isn't that crazy that he said that? And one of those things was him mentioning the idea of a merger between MLS and Liga MX and having a one giant league. And to us, even when we responded to it, we were just like, wow, that seems very difficult. Kind of crazy.
Yeah.
You even said, that's insane. You told a billionaire who has the ability to do very crazy things with his money.
Yeah.
You said, even that's insane, sir.
When I said that's insane in his head, he was like, oh, if you knew what I've paid for.
Yeah. So So we were obviously like a little shocked by it, but we weren't like, Dan, get out of here. You're ridiculous.
Yeah.
No, but the idea of an MLS owner suggesting that really shows that there's probably been some owners meeting that he's been like, hey guys, have we thought about maybe merging the leagues and making one huge league? We talked about it from a practical point, but I think our listeners were thinking about the future of like U.S. soccer and how would it affect the landscape of the sport and of both federations and what would that mean?
Right.
We were just thinking like, hey, man, the schedules would be tough flying there, I guess. Or
we were
whatever.
Just like, yeah, but how's that going to happen? I mean, is the official going to speak English or Spanish? Because if you need bilinguals, we got
all
you.
All right, so we'll do it. All right, give me that yellow shirt. Yeah.
I'm going to blow all types of whistles.
Yo, Geiger, you don't know Spanish?
My Geiger.
So what I did love is a lot of people had a lot of reactions to this.
People spoke very positively about how in-depth we were able to get with him into the whole idea of youth development, which we now learn is pretty much their goal moving forward is to be a selling team. They're going to brought up the youth coach, Luchi Gonzalez, who we brought we've brought up on the show before. And they're going to basically just start bringing up the kids a little bit earlier.
Yeah,
let them play, try to sell them.
I forgot his name, but there's a kid that went on trial at Bayern. And he's now signing with Bayern.
Yeah, the kid's from Alabama, which is a part of their, region.
Yeah, yeah. But he's an FC Dallas Academy kid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's, really excited. Dan Hunt was really excited about the regions breaking down. And in his eyes, he's like, yo, we could just go scoop up all these kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Get them to play on the first team, sell them.
You know?
I don't know how the fan base feels about that, per se. Do you want to get season tickets to go see something like that? You know what I mean?
Look, FC Dallas fans, all they want is a team that is successful, especially in the playoffs, and for people to just show up and go to games. So, I wanted to talk about this because we got a message, a Gully Squad member. Shout out to the homie Mike Thomas. He's a big Philly Union fan. Love him on Twitter. He's great. This is why I get to learn more about. This is how I get to learn more about the league when I see stuff from like OG MLS fans. You know, they've just been, especially when you support a team that is like not historically like very good. It's like, yo, I know that's love.
Yeah.
It's love and hate. You know, it's a love and hate relationship. But you know, it's Philly till I die kind of thing, right? And in the Gully Squad, the super secret Facebook group that may or may not exist, allegedly, Mike Thomas allegedly posted
this thing we're gonna read.
Who knows if it's
maybe we're making it up. Maybe Mike Thompson isn't real.
Mike Thomas.
I'm literally looking at the name.
So he not only did he give his opinion on what a merger between MLS and Liga MX would look like. This is like a 10-point plan.
He literally, there's bullet points.
Okay.
But this, I got to say, it's pretty succinct. There's nothing in there that I read through it twice to be like, is there something missing? And there isn't. I think I'll give you what I think my negative is, but okay. Go ahead.
But so these are some of the bullet points, and I'll just run through it quickly. It's too long to read the whole thing.
Yeah, then we'll get back to the four-hour episodes.
So because Dan Hunt did mention the idea of expansion and how far would expansion actually go.
He was like, I could see 32 teams. I could see more than that.
Yeah, and people were surprised by that as well.
Yeah. Thank God Don Garber doesn't listen to our show.
Huh? you get a team, and you get a team.
He's like, damn it, Dan.
The expansion fee is $400 million. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the club. So the first point he mentioned, 54 teams in this combined league. So that'll be 36 MLS, 18 Liga MX. These 54 teams would be separated into six 9-team regional divisions.
So six divisions, each comprising of 9 teams. And he put something like North, South, East, West, Norte, Sur, or whatever you want to call the names, right?
So, and then you would play every team in your division home and away for 16 games, play two other divisions once for 18 more games, and that'd be 34 games total. So, and he even is taking travel into this as well. So like every year you won't you won't play every team every year.
No, that's the big drawback for me is the lack of a balanced schedule yet again.
Yeah, because it would be too many teams. You couldn't. Yeah. It just wouldn't be possible.
But this is the thing. This is what upsets me. I get people love single table, but for the most part in Europe or in most leagues, you play everyone at your home and then you come play at my house. And through that, you can decide who's the best across the board. And that is who's the best because you were able to go to every other visitor. You were able to go to every other team as a visitor and all those teams went to your house and you did the best job out of beating all of them. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So a lack of a balanced schedule doesn't assure that. So you're more like an NFL schedule, which is just like go out and get wins. Doesn't matter against who.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you happen to be lucky and you're in a weak division, you probably suck in the playoffs, but you're going to make it into the playoffs every time.
Yeah. It's I want to even keep going like this. So he's taken into consideration everything that you think you wouldn't work.
Yeah.
He's found a point where like, it could probably work in this way. So
well, here's what he did. He wrote it and then he took a step back and he thought about it.
Yeah.
What about this? And then he went back and he wrote more. This is very impressive. This is, like I said, succinct.
It's very, very well done. And it's for the Gully Squad members. So if you want to, check it out because it's almost too in depth to really go into. But join the Gully Squad, feel free to do that. And you can see stuff like that and shout out to Mike Thomas for sharing stuff like that, because it's super dope. So like I mentioned, go to soccercooligans.com/gullysquad if you'd like to join and be a part of the show, and you can help us decide what we talk about, and you can help the show grow. So a couple other things. There was another question that was brought up in the super secret Facebook group, Gully Squad, that may or may not exist. From Yusuf Ricard, our homie, NYCFC fan, good friend.
Dominicano. De lo tuyo.
And he posted a much less succinct post.
As Yusuf does.
But it's just a fair question. I think this was...
to me is one of the most intriguing...
Yeah,
these are the types of questions I like.
It started a little bit of debate, and I like this one. And he asked the question: is the Cruyff turn the equivalent of a Sham God crossover in terms of making defenders look dumb? So, if you don't know Sham, what's his first name? God, wasn't it God Sham God or something like that? What was his first name? I forgot Sham God's first name. But he's a basketball player that was known for a crossover that, like, I mean, I would say...
God Sham God.
God Sham God, yeah, right. So, what a name.
I love it.
Yo, God.
He's from New York.
Yeah.
Let's get it. But there was a player that did it in the NBA a lot. Wasn't it Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf or something like that?
I mean, to me, the closest to that Sham God crossover was maybe Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson had a pretty...
No, Allen Iverson had a killer crossover, like the Tim Hardaway crossover.
Okay, so there's a killer crossover and then the Sham God crossover.
Sham God, you put the ball in front of the player to his right.
Yeah.
And then you bring it back and you take a step back. Allen Iverson would go left to right.
Okay.
So here's the difficulty thing is the Sham God. The thing about the Sham God is you're presenting the ball. And the player's instinct is like,
The defender's instinct. Yeah.
The crossover is, I think he's going to go this way, and then you quickly disappear the other way. That is a more functional move. The Sham God is
it's a little
disrespectful,
a little flair, more style to it.
So that's the Meg. That's the nutmeg.
So is the Cruyff turn and this was the basis of the question. What makes defenders look more dumb? So I responded by saying the nutmeg. The nutmeg is the most embarrassing. I think there's no more embarrassing play to a defender than the nutmeg.
It's almost useless to do it. So it's literally there just to disrespect. I can only think of like one instance where you have like three defenders on you and you poke it through someone's legs to get around them.
I mean, no.
Other than that, there's no other real use for maybe to score a goal on a keeper. It's the five hole, if you will.
I wouldn't say that the nutmeg is...
What's the functionality of a nutmeg?
You completely neutralize the defender.
You could do that another way, is what I'm saying.
So what is the other way? So I'm also saying it is very, very hard to nutmeg somebody.
You're in an open field.
let's give other scenarios, right? Because we've seen... you say you have two defenders. You're by the touchline and there's no real out. And the only way out is to nutmeg one of the defenders.
I don't think there's enough situations where the only option is to nutmeg the defender. I think it's done. Yes, it does have a function in the sense that you do completely neutralize the person, but it is more of a look what I can do.
I don't know if it's a more
often than
usually
not,
on the touchline. This is, and I think why players, especially amazingly skilled players, usually only go for nutmegs while they're near the touchline, because there's not that much risk. You probably won't lose the ball, because if the defender actually does touch it or does get a foot on it, the ball's going to go out of bounds anyway.
Right.
So it's, look, when it comes to embarrassment, I don't think there's anything greater. Like, yeah, without it, there's no move to me that you can't recover from quick enough to like not look so bad.
But then I think it equates to the nutmeg, because the nutmeg, even if it has a little bit of functionality, the sham god, what made it great was that no one was ready for it.
Okay.
But you could, there's not an opportunity where you need to do the sham god. And I don't know that there's many opportunities where you need to do a nutmeg, where you need to nutmeg somebody. So what I'm saying is, if it works, it's great. It destabilizes your defender. It's wild disrespectful, and you know you're posterizing that person.
Yes.
It's like saying you have to dunk on that person, because what else are you going to do? You know, there's no need for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like there's no need to chip the keeper. You know what I mean? And that one, we retweeted it like a couple weeks ago, where the guy stops, the defender and the keeper both fall, and he just scoops it over the head. You didn't need to do that. You know, when Ronaldinho brings the ball right up to the goal line and he leans forward and leans down and taps it over with his forehead, you don't need to do that.
Obviously.
I think the nutmeg is closer to that than it is a functional move. The Cruyff turn is a very functional move.
How about Panenka? Is as far as embarrassing the keeper.
Yeah, but that's a very specific moment you can use that. You can't Panenka during a game other than a penalty.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's not in the run of play.
Yeah, but is it more, I mean, it's better to do a regular penalty, right?
Yeah, I would say like the shallowy Firmino no-look goal scoring when it's already going in is not as functional as a nutmeg, and it is as disrespectful as a nutmeg. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's clearly not.
But a sham god, you can do all game.
It's all for, I don't know, I feel like there's, the nutmeg is more of more useful than you're giving it credit. That's what I honestly think.
I'm saying more often than not, there was another option. So it's purposely done.
More often than not, but occasionally it is.
Yes, occasionally. I'll give you that.
Just the right thing to do, and only certain people can do it.
Yeah, and also wild disrespect.
And also wild. And,
and that's the sham god. By the way, if you're listening to this and you don't know what the sham god is, look it up. It's
just
pretty great.
Look up the sham god crossover.
SHAMMGOD.
So thank you again for Gully Squad members for that contribution. So there were a couple other things that I'm losing. I'm forgetting what exactly I wanted to bring up.
Miguel Almirón?
Yeah, that's what I want to talk about. Miguel Almirón.
We haven't heard anything about the move to Newcastle.
So, you know, I've also been hearing that Real Betis has some interest.
Well, if they got Guap, he'll go, apparently.
Not only do they got Guap, but they also have a Dominican left back, Junior Firpo, who I love.
There you go.
He's my hero. He's Dominican, born in the Dominican Republic, but for whatever reason, playing in like the U20 to U20s for Spain. And, you know, I just, look, you saw what Iniesta posted, bro.
Yeah.
Why are you playing?
They're making fun of your people, my guy. It's time to go.
Come on, man. Hopefully he makes the right decision so we can defeat Cuba.
Yeah. We never going to happen.
Cuba. Don't you remember that? You could have helped
you
us.
You can't hear me flexing. Actually, you may hear the creaking of my bones.
But Miguel Almirón was, you know, rumored to be have some interest from Newcastle. Newcastle wants to buy him from Atlanta United. But apparently the holdup is...
I think the money for the deal is done. Now the wages.
The wages, which is always the issue, right? I remember...
Usually it's the other way around. Like Cesc Fabregas, he's agreed to a deal with Monaco. He's cool with the money and everything. But Chelsea says they're not willing to let him move unless they get a replacement.
Yeah.
So, usually it's the other way around.
I was listening to... I forgot what episode of Total Soccer Show.
Oh God, you listened to that
a couple months ago. But Taylor Rockwell made a great point where
Here's a new something new.
But what really strings up a lot of the clubs is not the transfer fee; it's the wages. It's like a lot of times, like we think the value of the player in their what their transfer fee is, but their transfer fee could be 50 million. Pounds.
It could be 2 million.
2 million pounds, but then the wages of like 100,000 a week, 150,000 a week, or whatever. Like that is what will bankrupt your club if you're not successful, if you get relegated or whatever.
And supposedly he's already on 40,000 pounds a week.
Sure, 40,000. I don't know what he's getting paid per week from, you know, what from Atlanta United, but he was making, he was a DP, so he's clearly
making money,
a fair amount of money.
You know, I was like, other American MLS players were like, we?
It's that we never see the numbers laid out that way.
Yeah, like, by the way, it's a 40-week period.
Yes.
We were able to confirm that.
Yeah, so that's why it can seem like it's a lot of money, but, I mean, Amido was making less than like Villa, right, and stuff like that. Like,
yeah,
I don't know exactly how much he was making for the year through Atlanta, but this seems to be the holdup that he apparently wants 100,000 pounds a week,
which would make him the most expensive player on the team, right? The highest wages,
highest wages on the team, which is he doesn't deserve that, right? I mean,
if they're willing to pay him, it's a, you know, this is one of those things where it's so difficult. He's a turning point in what the value is of an American based player, an MLS player in Europe.
It is a big,
is he worth it? We're about to find out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Are American players or MLS players worth it? He is that chip that will fall.
Yeah. And we will learn. I mean, it'll be the beginning of like for the next player that makes a move and the next South American player or whatever, that that it can be like a more a realistic option to come to MLS, because it, like, he went from MLS and now he's getting 100K a week.
100K pounds a week, is wild money.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the thing. I don't care if he gets it or not, but for the league, if he gets it, that's huge.
Yeah.
To go from MLS to the Premier League and be the paid the most expensive player on that team.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It's huge. I also don't think he has earned to be the highest paid player at Newcastle.
But here's the thing. We can't say that because it's all of this rests right now on whether Newcastle, and it seems like the answer is no, and they agree with you.
Yeah.
Whether Newcastle decides that yes, this person is good enough to be the highest earning player on the team.
Yeah.
If he is, this means the world to MLS going out and getting European players, going out and getting South American players, going out and getting players from outside this country. This becomes, wait a minute, he got to play in Atlanta, got to live in the U.S. Everybody, by the way, they all want to live in the U.S., right? All these players, everyone who keeps talking to us are like, yo, they would love to live in the U.S. Part of it is that anonymity. The other part is, yo, you guys actually get paid. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like on time.
Oh, you can just show up drunk at an airport.
Yeah, and everything's cool. $25? Here's 50.
That's all it costs?
He's 50. Right? Like, I a lot of these players want to play here. And especially if you're young, especially if you're playing in a country like Argentina, where you saw what happened during the Copa Libertadores final.
Oh, yeah. Right? Speaking of, real quick, Maxi Morales.
His house got robbed.
His house got robbed in Argentina.
He said they took everything.
They took all his stuff. And it was apparently like a lot of equipment that he was going to donate to like poor kids that needed like soccer equipment and stuff like that.
And he was like, I hope you get to use it.
Yeah. So this is, you know, we've heard these stories from
his house in Argentina, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. I said that. So, but the Argentinian player, the South American player, it's a much better situation to be out here and just feel a little bit more safe with for yourself and your family.
We've talked about Diego Valera's story, and I think, I don't know if he posted or somebody else from Argentina posted it, and like, this is why the players want to leave here. It's because of you guys. It's because of how you're acting. So, yo, if Miguel Almirón gets 100,000 pounds a week, he's got to fly the Cooligans out to Newcastle.
Yes, because we were the ones who negotiated that deal for you. This is the negotiation.
You right can't deny that we didn't add to the culture to which you were able to secure that money. So, like,
I think it would be, Newcastle's in a tough place, right? Because they very likely could get relegated again. And if they do, like, if they're in that position, like, how much is it worth to not be relegated? Is Miguel Almirón that good that he can save us from relegation? That's the tough question. I don't even feel like it's not a yes for me. It's not a definitive yes where I'm like, oh, he's worth that money.
Imagine he can turn Mitrovic into an actual striker.
Mitrovic is honestly the best thing they have going for them, man. He's great. I mean, he's good. Did you see, like,
he's young as hell, too.
Last week or 2 weeks ago, they had that issue. I think his name is Kamara, the other striker that
took the penalty
and missed. Yeah. And he was, like, fighting with him, took the ball, then took the penalty, and the penalty was saved.
Fulham.
That's Fulham, yeah. Oh, what are you talking about? Oh, yeah.
We're talking about Newcastle.
Mitrovic did play for Newcastle. He went from Newcastle to Fulham. Okay, so... but we're talking about Mitrovic, regardless.
Yeah.
It was just an interesting thing, because he...
I forgot Mitrovic went to Fulham. Yeah. That's my bad.
He kissed him on the head. Koulian style.
Did he?
Yeah. Before he took the penalty, then missed... and then Mitrovic ended up scoring the goal to get the win. So it was a nice story, but Claudio Ranieri was like furious with him because he's not supposed to be taking penalties, but he really wanted to take it. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on Miguel Almirón and see what happens, because it's going to mean a lot for the league. I mean, it's going to mean a lot for the future of American soccer, of what this dude gets paid. So that's how big of a deal it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see. So, Atlanta United is going to be fine. Pete Martinez is coming soon. And they haven't officially announced it, but every Argentinian newspaper is like, he's leaving to Atlanta United, and we know exactly what's going on. But
they haven't. Rondon. That's the guy's name.
Salomon. Yeah. Venezuelan.
Salomon.
Okay. Why?
He got the accent.
Why? No. Why are you talking about him?
Because I said Mitrovic, and I'm like, that's not the guy's name.
Rondon. He played. He was at West Brom.
Yeah. He's been around for a hot minute.
He's just a bulldozer of a striker.
He also has that. He has like the Palacio brothers used to have this one move where they would roll the ball back, and it was the only move they had.
Okay.
But you never knew which way they were going to go, left or right.
Yeah.
Salomon Rondon there's something, I can't remember what his move is, but he has this one thing he does all the time. And I'm like, if I would have learned one, I wouldn't have gotten in the Premier League, but I feel like I just needed to learn one thing. Teach these kids a bunch of stuff? One thing.
Yeah. I'm trying to learn. I'm recovering from my soccer shape class. I've been back at soccer shape.
Posting
with Johnny Barajo, who we've had on the show, plays for the New York Cosmos.
Great interview.
You always check it out. But it's been great. It's back. It's in Brooklyn. If anybody's interested, you should check it out, man. It's a great soccer class to one exercise, but also get a little bit better at soccer. And it kicked my ass. I mean, I didn't really they took a break for the winter, and then. I also rolled my ankle playing at NYC Footy, so I wasn't really able to do anything for a while. And oh boy, it tells. It's very evident. It was like points. I was like, I think I might pass out at upper 90.
Yeah.
So, but go check it out. Go to Soccer Shape and check it out. It's actually really, really cool. So, all right. So that's the end of the show, everybody.
Aww.
How sad. We are going to be in Chicago tomorrow. Till Sunday.
Yeah, we're going to be there, and we're going to do like a fan meetup with the Total Soccer Boys.
Yeah, so this is these are the kids of the children of the Total Soccer Show. They had kids, and they're going to do... They have another show.
We're meeting fans at a bar with the kids of Total Soccer.
It's going to be at a Chuck E. Cheese, Alexis's favorite pizza.
Yeah, we're taking the Total Soccer Show U15. the boys from the Total Soccer Show.
So if you are going to be, it's at the McCormick Place convention, McCormick Convention Center.
Whatever, it's a Chicago Convention Center.
Yeah,
you know where it is.
Where the United Soccer Coaches Conference convention and the MLS Super Draft. We're going to be there. If you're there, we're going to be at Podcast Row. Come say hello to us. Come get a sticker. Come get a hug.
Yeah, come hang out.
And, you know, we're going to be interviewing a couple of people while we're there. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to turn up at the United Soccer Coaches Conference. That's what's going to happen.
Bro, we're going to change everything.
Okay.
They're going to start. They're going to hire security after this year.
Okay. They're going to be patting people down.
Hell yeah. Metal detectors, my guy.
You ain't got enough girls with you. You can't come in here.
No, bottle service only.
All right. It's going to be it's a whole new day for American soccer. It's all because of the Cooligans. Okay. Well,
yeah,
that?
some broke behind us, which means it's time to go.
They want us out of here. So, thank you again for listening to the show.
Thank you for all Gully Squad members. Please join.
Yeah,
thank you to everyone who leaves a review. Leave a review if you haven't yet. I see some of you guys writing. I can't believe it took this long. So we're telling you now, do it right now. 5 stars. Say something nice. Say something funny, and we'll read it on the show.
Exactly. So, we appreciate you. We love you. And say what's up in Chicago. Come hang out with us. So, my name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!